America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my Equifirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm really not looking forward to going back to work on Wednesday.
And this episode is sponsored by Glenn Ratliff. Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing chapter 29 of Goff, also known as Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, The Dream. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to plummet into the details.
Wow.
Right. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for the Weekly Prophet.
All right, so we've got a lot of news about us today.
We're just going to talk all about us.
So first up, I wanted to talk about Wizardly World of Kent again. So I know that we just put out that bonus episode not too long ago with the lovely ladies who run Wizardly World of Kent. But if anybody hasn't listened to that or they skipped over it for some reason and just went straight to the chapter episodes, I wanted to give you all the details here, too. What?
I was going to say, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, really. Go listen to it. It's all about Wizardly World of Kent. So it's taking place on July 27th, so that you guys all know. It starts at 10 a.m. and it goes until 8 p.m. And we are actually hosting two different things at Wizardly World. First of all, we're going to have a booth. So you'll be able to find us at our Swish and Flick booth and meet us, chat with us. We'll have merch.
It's $20 to meet us, just so you know.
It's free, Katie.
All right, I'll take candy.
Okay. So we're going to have merch. We're going to have free buttons. And we also are going to be hosting trivia, which is going to be at 11:45, I believe. There will be trivia signups at the Gringotts Bank Plaza, which is the check-in area for, like, if you ordered t-shirts and stuff, I want to say that's where you'll go. That's where you'll also sign up for trivia. There's going to be two rounds of trivia, and there will be seven teams in each round of no more than five people on a team. So if you guys want to get teams together of five, and then you can go sign up together. Or just make friends at Wizardly World and sign up together, because, I mean, that's fun too. And then also, we're going to be doing a live podcast, and that will be at 3:45?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Do we know what we're talking about?
So, what we talked about on the episode, basically, is that we're going to just do, like, a little intro about who we are, so that people who have never heard of us will get to know who we are. And then it's basically going to be driven by the audience. So hopefully people will want to ask us questions and then we can discuss them and talk about them during the episode. And then hopefully the hope is that we can record that and put it out live to everybody who can't be there, if I can technically figure out how to do that. So yeah, so we'll do a live podcast at 3:45 and then we'll be there all the way from 10 to 8. You can come find us at our booth. We'll just be hanging out. Katie and I will also have our posters for sale from our Etsy shop there.
And I'm hoping, if I have time, I'm trying to work on some like new art stuff. So I'm hoping that'll be at our
booth. We're going to debut some new merchandise at Wizardly World of Kent.
That's definitely the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah. So there will be stuff that will be debuted there first and then might go up on the website if we have extras. And then also, I'm just saying some of the merch might have to do with some fun podcast sayings that we have. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, dear Joe.
I completely forgot about all things. Also, I wasn't on this episode and everyone's like, so tell me more about like what's happening with this Kent thing. I'm like, I wasn't on that episode, so I don't know. Like, things are happening. We'll be there.
We will.
I'll be there.
So
in all my glory.
And then something just for our Swishers. We are hosting a breakfast get together the following morning on Sunday. Do we want to just say 9:30? Is that a good time, you think?
That's fine.
9:30 Sunday. It will be at the, I think it's called the Dan Smith Community Park. Did I make that up?
I have no idea.
So there's a park. So it's going to take place basically where Wizardly World of Kent is taking place. There's a park between the restaurants Barfly and Brico. We're just going to bring donuts, bagels, coffee, some snacks basically for everybody.
Also, Tree City Coffee's like right there. In case you want some of that coffee.
It is right there. So
good. I almost said something. So good.
So yeah, we're going to be hosting that just for Swishers Sunday morning. And yeah, just more time to hang out with us. I'm excited.
Yup.
So then second thing I wanted to talk about with everybody is that on August 9th, Katie, myself, and Tiffany, and our good old friend Ezra will be in Orlando, Florida, and we're going to be hosting a meetup on August 9th at City Walk in Universal. So City Walk is just the free portion of Universal, so if you don't have tickets into the park, that's okay, but if you live in the Orlando area and want to come and hang out with us and meet us, we're going to be there in the evening. Details, I think that we'll nail a time down by the next episode. We'll put it on here what time we're going to meet. It's going to be in the evening around dinner. We're just going to be in City Walk in the grassy area by the steps down to where the boats go. And then we're probably going to get together and then walk over to Voodoo Donuts and get some donuts. Just hang out, chat. There's an event for both of these things on our Facebook page as well. So if people want more details.
Go there. Sounds fun.
All right. I still got I still got three more things. Okay. So
much.
Next up, I wanted to talk about our donation, our campaign that we ran for Glisten. So you guys are literally the best because we were able to donate $1,053 to Glisten from our sales of Pride merchandise in the month of June.
Blows our mind.
Literally can't believe that we hit $1,000. It's amazing. I posted, so like, I basically how I did it is that I created a campaign on our Facebook page for Glisten, and every time I would add up how much merch we had sold and all the profits, I would just go onto that Facebook campaign and I would donate that amount so that you guys could kind of see the progress as it went throughout the month. It was actually like July 3rd or something, and I was like, guys, we are so close to 1,000. So we went a couple days into July to get to 1,000, but no shame. It was worth it. It was amazing. So yes, anybody who bought Pride merch all the way up to like, I want to say it was July 5th, all of it went towards Glisten. So thank you guys for that. $1,053.
Yay!
Awesome. So speaking of campaigns, One other thing I wanted to talk about is that Katie, myself, and my dad are doing the heart walk in September for my mom. So I don't know if maybe people are new listeners now, but last year in May, my mom had a heart attack, and all of the Swishers were so incredibly supportive and amazing. That was kind of one of those moments for me that, like, how awesome our community is really hit me. So my mom had a heart attack, and everybody was just so supportive. And she's doing so much better now, but it's honestly, like, thanks to the American Heart Association and the Cleveland Clinic that my mom is even alive right now. So we are running a heart walk campaign for my mom, and we're raising money for the American Heart Association. If anybody's interested in donating towards it, I'll put the link in the description of the podcast. Even like a dollar would, you know, be awesome. Or if you can't donate, if you could share the link for me and just put it out there so that maybe somebody that you know can donate, even if it's just a dollar, that would just be awesome. Because the American Heart Association does a lot of really good things. Mm-hmm. And last thing I wanted to tell you guys is that we're really going to start trying to ramp up our YouTube channel. So I don't think that a lot of you guys are subscribed to our YouTube channel, possibly, because we have a lot more listeners to the podcast than we do subscribers on YouTube. So if you guys could head on over to YouTube, search Swish and Flick Podcast, and just hit that little subscribe button, that would be awesome. We're going to be posting vlogs from our trip to Florida that we're going on shortly. Maybe one or two more vlogs from our New York trip that are still going to go up. And then we also have a mail vlog that's going to go up. So, because all of you guys have sent us such amazing things, we wanted to make a video about it. So if you guys wanted to go and subscribe, all of those videos, they'll notify you as soon as we post them. So, and hopefully we're going to be able to post more frequently on there.
And I want you all to comment or message us. If you did, like, we did a puff pastry thing with Katie and Ezra, we want to do that with Tiffany and Katie. And Tiffany says no, and we have to turn her frown upside down and make her do it.
I ain't no puff.
Yeah, but, like, you two in the kitchen would be really funny. And I was actually just talking about how, like, watching people in the kitchen, that, like, it just makes me anxious. So I probably won't be paying super attention. But, yeah, if you want a video by them, tell us. And tell us what you want the two of them to make. Yes.
Tiffany, come on.
What do I have to make?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I want to do food.
Hey, me and Ezra made creme brulee.
Yeah,
it was,
I know,
legitimately really good. I was talking about it with my friend Jen, and she's like, Sarah, that's like something really complicated you made them do. I'm like, yeah, I know, we picked that on purpose. I'm like, and I was surprised at how well it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany.
Yeah. So people should comment on that video about how much they want Tiffany to do it.
Yeah, and then give us ideas of what you want Tiffany to make.
Mm-hmm.
With Katie helping her.
Toast. I'll make toast.
Sometimes that even trumps me.
I will make cereal.
Oh my gosh.
Tiffany will be like, I'll make you guys a cup of coffee.
She does make good coffee.
I do. I know how to make coffee.
So yeah, that my weekly profit is officially over now after all of that. Thank you guys for listening through it. We just have a lot of stuff going on, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think that... So somebody in the group chat mentioned something to me and Katie for the next time we go to New York. Fun fact, me, Katie, and Sarah are actually going to New York in August to see Puffs for the last time on the last weekend of Puffs. So... If anybody would be interested in a meetup in New York,
again,
let us know.
Yeah.
It's going to be August 17th and 18th. We're going to be there.
I think so.
So, yeah, if anybody can come to a meetup, hit us up and we'll arrange one.
We'll be
there. You're going to need to make a new t-shirt. Yeah. New York on there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'll get on it.
Anybody who's coming to the Orlando meetup, when this comes out, you should still have a couple of days to order a t-shirt. We're making t-shirts. So if you're interested in one, message us and I'll send you how to order one.
True is true.
Okay, now weekly profit is officially over.
God, thanks. You ready?
I'm ready.
Recap!
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
Okay, last time. The trio sent good old Purse a letter asking about Mr. Crouch and got a not-so-nice response in return. Winky's still having a really hard time adjusting to life at Hogwarts, but we get to see Niffles! but Ron gets super moody about money, even though his Niffler is doing a good job in class. The champions, or campions as I wrote in the doc apparently, find out that the third task is a maze involving magical obstacles and creatures. And Crumb pulls Harry aside and wants to know what's up between him and Hermione, because that's his girl. but the two of them stumble upon Mr. Crouch, who is, like, totally raving mad in the Forbidden Forest. He wants to warn Dumbledore about something, but by the time Harry gets Dumbledore and comes back, Crouch is gone, and Crumb is stunned. Dun, dun, dun.
But literally.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Literally. They're amazed at that maze. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, a lot of things happened in this chapter, and, you know, we're going to talk about it, and that's my summary. Just kidding. Wouldn't that be funny if that's what I did?
Yeah,
things happened. I mean, Harry Potter was there.
I would take it.
All right. So a lot of conversations happen. Hermione reminds them, and us, I guess, that you can't apparate in and out of Hogwarts. Haven't I told you guys enough? The Weasley twins are up to something, but, you know, so is the trio, a.k.a. what else is new?
Yeah.
So before Defense Against the Dark Arts, they have a talk with Moody, and he tells Harry he should just keep his mind on the third task. I wonder why. Don't be digging into that Crouch story. Don't be crouching into those secrets. Oh. Harry gets a letter from Sirius, and he's warned about going out and about whilst, you know, at Hogwarts, even though he's like, who is he to talk? Because Sirius did that too. And then, you know, on to classes. Harry goes and takes a little schnooze in Trelawney's class. And whilst there, he has an odd dream with Wormtail, a snake, and Voldemort in it. And he's woken up in the class, and the whole class is looking at him, and his scar is burning like crazy. Interesting. I wonder why that happened. Will we discuss it in this episode? Find out. Trelawney is convinced it was more than a headache, but Harry's like, nah, I'm just gonna go leave. I'm gonna go to the hospital wing. And she's like, no, don't go. But he's really not even going to the hospital wing, because he's like, no, I'm gonna go see Tiffany's main man, Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets there, and he overhears Dumbledore and other people talking in their office, and he likes to eavesdrop, and then Moody calls him out on it.
He does like to eavesdrop, this Mr. Harry Potter.
That's how you find out good information.
I guess.
I mean, it's true.
So, we begin our chapter by recapping the night before.
A double recap.
I know. So, Hermione comes to the conclusion that either Mr. Crouch had attacked Victor or somebody else attacked the both of them when Victor wasn't looking. But Ron believes it was Mr. Crouch. But Harry thinks otherwise because Crouch seems so weak that he didn't seem up to disapparating after. But you can't, says Hermione.
Poor Hermione, oh my God.
Nobody listens.
All I can think about is Ryan being like, okay, it was Mr. Crouch with a wand in the forest.
Yeah. And then in the library.
Yes.
So Ron comes up with the theory of the century, I said. So here we go. Crumb attacks Crouch and stuns himself. Winner,
oh,
winner,
Ron.
Chicken dinner. Then Crouch evaporates, according to Hermione. Right? This is plausible, correct?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Headcanon.
I love Hermione's sarcasm. She's like, yeah, and then he just evaporates.
He is so, like, quick-witted in this book.
Yeah.
And I,
you say he pulls a Voldemort in the movies. He just evaporates into little baldy bits. Little crouchy bits.
Crouchy into bits.
Crouch confetti.
I like it. Crouch fetti.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're all welcome for those terms. So, the trio creeps up to the Owlery at daybreak to send an owl to Sirius about the events of the previous night. Because, obviously, Sirius is like, keep me informed, anything weird, and this is obviously something that he would want to know about. And I said that we've spent a ton of time with the owls this year, and I'm here for that. Mm-hmm. I love those hoots.
Yeah.
Hoot.
Little hoots. So, they're all staring off into the distance at the forest. They're puffy-eyed and pale because they've been staying up all night talking about the Croucher deal. Hermione tells Harry to just, you know, go through it again. So Harry retells his story like he tells every story ever when he's by himself. He has to go through it a million times. So Crouch wasn't making sense. He wanted to warn Dumbledore about something. He mentioned Bertha Jorkins. He thinks that she's dead. He kept saying stuff was his fault. And he mentioned his son. And so the book goes on to say, quote, he was out of his mind, said Harry. Half the time he seemed to think his wife and son were still alive. And he kept talking to Percy about work and giving him instructions. And remind me what he said about you-know-who, said Ron, tentatively. I've told you, Harry repeated dully. He said he's getting stronger. So I said, question. You know how villains give, like, their lengthy speeches to their victims or whatever yeah. before they kill them and stuff? Do you think that Crouch knew, Crouch Sr., knew all the details about what Barty Crouch Jr. was doing because he was holding him captive and pretty much, and he knew that he was never going to escape or and he was going to kill him in the end anyway?
I think
so. So do you think that's why he knew about, like, that's why he was saying Voldemort was getting stronger and the Bertha Jorkins thing?
Yeah. I think that he was with Voldemort. Like, I think that, what's his face with had him?
Wormtail?
Wormtail. Yeah. Because he's, always, like, talking yeah. about the blunder and then he's like, he's dead. Like, I think it was Wormtail's job to keep an eye on Crouch Sr.
Wasn't he at his house, though?
See, I don't know. No one had seen him at all.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that they were, like, keeping him, like, at his house and, like, messing with his brain and stuff.
Yeah, I think they were keeping him at his house, but I think Wormtail was actually at the Crouch's house with him.
Because he literally, later on in the chapter, when Harry's, like, dreaming, but, you know, he's dreaming his dream where he's literally there watching Voldemort, and he's talking to Wormtail, and he's like, you know, I was going to punish you for your blunder, but, like, he's dead. He's talking about Crouch. So, in my assumption that Wormtail, like, that was his job, was to make sure that Crouch didn't go off and do something,
yeah.
you know, like he did.
Especially if he's fighting the Imperius curse okay. so much, you know, like, he needs someone to be sitting with him constantly.
So, you think Wormtail yeah. was telling him all these things because he knew that he would never make it out alive anyway? You or know how maybe people torture people and they tell him stuff and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like in the movies,
he might have just brought him with him. Like when he was going to see Voldemort, he's bringing because he can't leave him because he doesn't trust him to not get out like his son did. So mm-hmm. maybe he was bringing him when he would have to go to Voldemort and have conversations, and he could hear everything, and they'd have to keep doing all the stuff. Does that make any sense?
I like both though. I feel like I don't know. I just feel like in my mind they wouldn't take him out of his house.
Well, maybe.
But, like, they wouldn't leave him alone either, and so if Wormtail has to do things for Voldemort,
they might leave him alone.
Was Voldemort at the house with them?
That's what I was going to say.
No, he stayed at the real house.
But he has to be constantly watched.
He has to be
fed.
Like, fed like a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't take care of himself.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, either way, Voldemort is either going to, I don't know, I just think that, like, Wormtail's was supposed to constantly keep an eye on Crouch. Senior.
Yeah.
And then he didn't, when he left him for a second, that's when this happened.
You know what makes sense if he escaped? Because the Riddle House was still miles away from Hogwarts and all that, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just any closer than where the Crouches stayed, like their house. Either way, he escaped from somewhere.
At his house. Yeah. But do we know for sure that Crouch was always at his house?
We don't know. I don't think we do. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out when we get, like, that whole Veritaserum with Judy.
I don't remember. Yes, Moody says so. What, Vinny? Does Moody say that he kept him at his house? Because I feel like that's... Yeah, that's what I thought.
But maybe when he went to school, he didn't, though. Because he, you know, there was time between the ending of the World Cup and them going to school. So maybe he kept him there, and this started, and then Wormtail had to, obviously, because Judy Jr. couldn't keep an eye on him while he's working as fake Moody. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, what are we arguing about?
All I'm saying is maybe he wasn't at his house. Maybe he was with Wormtail and Voldemort.
I think he was. I don't know. House. I don't know. I don't think he was at the Riddle House. This is what you do when you're in a relationship.
Oh, God.
You guys.
What? This is why we have a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Continue, ma'am.
I just love you guys. Just make me smile.
Anyways. So I went a little further with this. So if you think that Crouch Jr. is doing this, or even Wormtail now that we're thinking about it, do you think that if he was telling him all this stuff, do you think that he wanted him to suffer as much as he could to match how he suffered in Azkaban Jr.? And then to imprison him like he was imprisoned in Azkaban, kind of like getting him back. Like, with all the bad thoughts that he had to go through while he was in Azkaban, he could have killed him right away and gotten rid of him and sent notes on his behalf pretending to be him, but he imprisoned him and kept him alive for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like, why do all that?
Yeah, I agree.
Why go through all of that? That's why, I guess that's why I was thinking that way. I went into a little bit deeper. Because, like, keeping up with the ministry, like, he did that. But kind of didn't, because is Crouch really sending all of that stuff, or is it Barty Crouch Jr. sending all of that stuff to Percy?
Or Wormtail.
I think, you know, we're talking about Wormtail, but I feel like anything Wormtail's doing right now is on behalf of Jr.
Yeah. Jr. and Voldemort, I would think, to keep up the ruse. But at the same time,
They're not doing a good job at it, though, let's be real.
Let's talk about, do you really think that, like, anything Wormtail's gonna do is gonna be that good?
No.
Yeah. So he's like, well, there's a word I want to use, but I can't use it because it's a swear word. But he's not putting in a full effort.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Half a donkey.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Are you sure we don't want to talk about, you know, Wormtail and where he's at with the Junior, senior, whatever his name is.
Can we have the episode title be What Are We Arguing About? Yes. or whatever I said. You guys, but honestly, like, for our listeners, dear Swishers, this is literally how we get through stuff when we don't talk on the podcast.
Yeah.
This is how we talk.
We don't talk when we're not on the podcast. We're not actually friends.
Yeah, I don't know who you guys are.
Get out of town.
Bye.
Katie and I are friends.
I'll leave. I just out of town, and I'll leave again. I'll go back to St. Louis.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Here we go. Let's literally actually continue to go. So Ron's trying to deny that anything could really be up with you-know-who, because I think, like me, Ron wants everything to be, like, all well and good. He wants to believe the best. He's like, I can't really be him, blah, blah, blah. And I know that I never want to believe that horrendous things happen, but alas, they do. So Harry redirects him and tells him that Crouch Sr. was at his most sane when he was speaking about Voldemort. And then Harry thinks back to the event and gets angry with the way that Snape held him up. And then Ron, being Ron, tries to put Snape at the scene as the bad guy, as always. And then I said, this is the Snape vampire theory.
Oh, boy.
Because Harry says, quote, not unless he can turn himself into a bat or something, said Harry. I wouldn't put it past him, said Ron. So I think this is where people started to theorize about Snape maybe having an animagus as a bat or even being a vampire because of this line. So I think it's cinemablend.com is the article that I pulled up. And it's basically just people talking about Snape being a vampire in the series. But Rowling put this down pretty fast. And it says, while it is true that he is an unhealthy pallor, and it is sometimes described as looking like a large bat in his long black cloak, he never actually turns into a bat. We meet him outside the castle by daylight, and no corpses with puncture marks in the necks ever turn up at Hogwarts. In short, Snape is not a revamped Trokar. So she put that down pretty fast. And she says also, the vampire myth is so rich and has been exploited so many times in literature and on film that I felt that there was little I could add to the tradition. So, sorry, friends. Snape is not a vampire.
Throwing I don't know what shade. That would have added to the storyline, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing.
A little sparkle here and there.
Yeah, there was
depends
already...
Depends on what kind of vampire.
There were already some people glittering, so we didn't need any more.
Some vampire feed on deer.
Oh, okay. She literally just, like, collapsed. I wish I had a video away from her microphone.
No.
Come here, you little spider monkey.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on tight, spider monkey.
Say all it right.
out loud.
Hello, Fozzie. So let's dive back into the book here. Quote, we need to see Professor Moody, said Hermione. We need to find out whether he found Mr. Crouch. If he had the Marauder's map on him, it would have been easy, said Harry. Unless Crouch was already outside the ground, said Ron, because it only shows up to the boundaries. Doesn't... said Hermione suddenly. And there were voices coming up the steps. Remember, we're in the owlery if you lost where we're at in the book because we've been talking about so many things. So we hear, quote, that's blackmail, that is. We can get in a lot of trouble for that. And, quote, we've tried being polite. It's time to play dirty. Like him. He wouldn't like the Ministry of Magic knowing what he did. And what ho! Greddon Forger here, also known as Fred and George. Oh, and there's an awkward sort of moment, but it's a little bit of a comedic scene and that I really appreciated it. What are you doing here? Ron and Fred said at the same time. Sending a letter, said Harry and George in unison. What, at this time? Said Hermione and Fred. Like, come on!
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
So Fred grins and says, fine, we won't ask you what you're doing if you don't ask us. Well, don't let us hold you up, said Fred, making a mock bow and pointing at the door, a.k.a. get out, right? But the trio doesn't move, and Ron pushes who they are sending a letter to. And Fred puts an end to the conversation by telling him to keep his nose out, or basically he'll break it. And I said, oh, brothers.
We're out, though.
Oh. Well done, you little Ravenclaw, you. Ron brings up the point that it is his business if they're blackmailing someone, because pretty much family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So George is like, no, we're joking about blackmailing someone. No biggie. Mm-hmm. And then they pull a low blow for them. They compare him to Percy. Because he's being nosy. And they say he'll be made a prefect.
Literally. I love it. He's like, no, I won't.
I know.
It's a bad thing?
So Fred and George mail their letter and they're on their way.
All right, so.
My gosh.
Hermione asks them if they think that Fred and George know something about all of this, like about Crouch and everything. And Harry says no. If it was something serious, they would tell somebody, like Dumbledore. But Ron immediately kind of, like, looks a little bit uncomfortable, and he's like, I don't know if they would. They're a little bit obsessed with money lately.
Money.
And he says that he noticed it a lot when, .. awkward silence, he wasn't talking to Harry. So Ron then tells them about the joke shop idea that the twins have, and he thought that really they were only saying it to annoy Molly, but they really mean it. They want to start a joke shop. Quote, Ron says, they've only got a year left at Hogwarts. They keep going on about how it's time to think about their future, and Dad can't help them, and they need to get started. So Hermione says that they wouldn't do anything against the law to get gold, though. But Ron's not so sure, because breaking the rules has never bothered them. Hermione actually, like, looks scared at this point, though. She's like, but it's not just a silly school rule, it's the law. They'd get more than detention for blackmail. She suggests telling Percy, but Ron basically is like, no, he'd pull a Crouch and turn them in, and he's not about to send his brothers to Azkaban or whatever the punishment may be for blackmailing.
Excuse me, it's Azkaban.
Azkaban. Sorry, Azkaban.
Yeah, get it right or pay the price.
So after that, they decide that it's probably too early to visit Moody, and they head to History of Magic. And this class had never gone as slowly as it was right now. Not even Hermione could pay attention, which is saying something.
Right.
And when it was over, they hurried to the dark arts classroom.
I thought you were going to say they hurried to the dark side. And I was like,
They do have cookies.
So Harry asks Moody, or Judy, if he found Mr. Crouch, and Judy says no. He did use the map, but he wasn't anywhere on the map. And Ron says,
liar.
Right? So he did disapparate. Poor Herm. You can't disapparate on the grounds, Ron. How many times does she have to tell him?
A million more.
Once more.
At this point, this is when Judy tells Hermione that she could also be an Auror. Because doesn't he suggest that to Harry right before this? So he suggests to Harry with all of their, like, detective work that they've been doing that Harry would make a great Auror. And then he says so at Hermione. What?
Herm's just like, nah, I'll just go for Minister of Magic.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be better than that. Harry then also says, well, he couldn't have been invisible because the map also shows invisible people. And poor Ron, at this point, is just trying to have an opinion so that Judy would tell him that he could be an Auror, too. But Judy wasn't having it. And he says something about, like, oh, they could have been taken by someone on a broom. They could have, like, swooped down and grabbed them and flown away. And Judy's just like, well, I guess you can't rule out kidnap. But basically, like, sorry, Ron, that's not really a good idea, but I'm just gonna, like, pat you on the back.
Here's your participation ribbon.
Right. Oh, okay. But this part actually kind of just, it's just annoying to read, especially, like, as a reread, because you know right now that Judy is lying this entire time.
I'll tell you, like, I'm annoyed that he's lying. Just tell the truth and turn yourself in.
I thought you were going to be like, this as a reader, this annoys me.
Like, no, because it's a reread. So, like, reading this for the first time, like, this scene wouldn't be annoying to anybody, right? But, like, going back and reading it again, and you know that Judy knows exactly what happened to Mr. Crouch, and he's just, like, basically trying to force the kids to think a certain thing when he knows full well what happened. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, he's the culprit.
Right. But
so why would he like tell them the truth?
What are we arguing about?
I'm not arguing.
It'd be like, guys, what if I actually killed him, turned him into a bone, buried him, and I stunned Crumb, and then I, like, ran around in a circle just to make it look like I was just coming in.
Oh my gosh.
Surprise.
What if Sirius,
and then they all had a good laugh about it,
was in his jog form and was just, like, you know, pooching around the forest and, like, dug up the bone.
What? Give a dog a bone.
Because he's a doog.
I'm just saying it's just annoying knowing, like, oh, God, you're talking to the person that did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Plus, liars are annoying. So.
Like a liar!
I bet you that Judy would go like this. To them, he'd be like, what would you do if I was the one that did it? It was all me. How would you react?
They'd probably be like, I would punch you.
Take another chunk out of your nose.
I guarantee they wouldn't believe him. They'd be like, ha, no.
Ha. Ha, yeah, very yeah, funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
Constant vigilance. But basically, he's just telling the kids to give up. He's like, the ministry will handle it. Dumbledore told me that you guys like to be investigators. Don't go pushing around on this one. Like, let the ministry take care of it. They've got it. It's under control. And then he just pushes Harry to focus on the third task and even encourages Ron and Herm to help him out. Constant vigilance about that third task. Just constant vigilance.
Yep.
All right, so Sirius sent an owl back basically just the next morning. Like, he's not messing around. He's got some things to tell Harry. But before they read it, Hermione gets the Daily Prophet that was dropped off to her, and she's stoked that Rita Skeeter had not gotten any wind of Mr. Crouch. The hatred that she has for this woman is, like, my favorite ever.
It makes me laugh.
We all share it.
Whoa.
What? Who likes Rita Skeeter?
I don't know. She's I love weird. Hearing a puff say, hey, just saying.
I highly dislike her.
It's reminiscent of some real world things, and I can relate at this moment in time. Yes. That's all.
Okay.
So I'm going to read good old Sirius's letter. Harry, what do you think you're playing at, walking off into the forest with Victor Crumb? I want you to swear by Return Owl that you are not going to go walking with anyone else at night. There is somebody highly dangerous at Hogwarts. It is clear to me that you wanted to stop Crouch from seeing Dumbledore, and you were probably feet away from them in the dark. You could have been killed. Your name didn't get into the Goff by accident. If someone's trying to attack you, they're on their last chance. Stay close to Ron and Herm. Do not leave Gryffindor Tower after hours, and arm yourself for the third task. Practice stunning and disarming. A few hexes wouldn't go amiss either. There is nothing you can do about Crouch. Keep your head down and look after yourself. I'm waiting for your letter, giving me your word you won't stray out of bounds again. Sirius. And Harry's like, who's he to lecture me about being out of bounds after all the stuff that he did at school? I've got the map to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And Hermione's like, he's worried about you, just like Judy. Ha. Yeah. Sure. And Hagrid. So she's like, so just listen to them. And Harry's like,
listen.
Harry's like, no one's attacked me all year or done anything to me. And Hermione's like, someone put your name in the Goblet of Fire? I'd say that's doing something. And she says, Snuffles is right. Maybe they've been biding their time. Maybe this is the task they're going to get you. And Harry's like, look, even if Sirius is right, say someone stunned Crumb and kidnapped Crouch, which that's basically what happened. They obviously would have been in the trees, right? They had all the time in the world right there to attack him, but they didn't attack until after he left to get Dumbledore. So clearly I'm not their target. And Hermione's like, look, how were they possibly going to make that look like an accident? Just murdering you right in the forest. But if you died during a Triwizard task, that's a little less fishy. And Harry's like, look, they didn't care about attacking Crumb. So why didn't they just make it look like me and Crumb had a duel? So once again, what are we arguing about here?
Hermione thinks about him dying too often, or like death in general. Like, this is how it could happen, and that would be the best way possible.
But she's like always right.
If I would kill you, Harry, I would do this.
No one would be able to find you, and it would look like an accident.
Hermione's the one who put his name in.
I think being friends with Hermione would really scare me sometimes.
She would give me
If you were Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, I think if you were Harry, she wouldn't scare you a ton, but if you got on her bad side, like Ron, like, he probably makes sure, like, when they're, like, grown and stuff, that they don't fight too much, because he's like, she could literally have me, like, killed. Now that she's the Minister of Magic, like, I would just go on a trip, and that's her way of being like, oh, he's dead now, you know?
He would Bertha Jorkins it.
Yeah.
Ron
just does that.
I just think of the bird she set on him.
Oh yeah.
No, so you better watch out. Because what if she sent like a flack of toucans, man?
Toucan Sams.
Those aren't small beaks.
They're no small birds.
Ain't no small bird.
Quality birds.
I thought you were gonna say koala birds.
Whoa, drop bears. So Hermione's like, I don't get it either, but you better get your butt in gear and start training for that task, and you better write back to Sirius right now and promise him you won't go sneaking off. #HermMom.
I was going to say, okay, Mom.
Right. So Harry thinks in his head, like, the Hogwarts grounds never looked more inviting than when he had to stay indoors. I know that's because he's practicing a lot, but he kind of is acting like he's under house arrest. Like, just go take a walk outside. Nobody said he couldn't do that. Just be a good boy. Yeah. You could be a good boy and go outside.
No, he's Harry Potter. He can't.
Right. That's true. So he's trying to learn the stunning spell, which he has to test out on Ron and Hermione. Mainly Ron, which we'll get to. So this is stupefy. So that's to stun an opponent, which renders them unconscious. I believe the first time we hear this spell is actually in the beginning of this book, when the Ministry Wizards are at the Quidditch World Cup. Mm. They're trying to stop whoever casts the Dark Mark. We see it again with Charlie Weasley and the other Dragon Keepers when Harry glimpses the dragons before the first task. And just a little bit more information. I just pulled it from the wiki because it actually had more than Pottermore. Pottermore was just like, this is what it does, the end. So the wiki says, the stunning spell is used to instantly render a target unconscious without causing lasting damage. Because I wondered that. I was like, if you did this a lot, like, could it actually hurt you? But
I wonder if there's, like, a different stunning spell that, like, really will, like, mess you up. You know what I mean? Like, along with, like, knocking you unconscious, it maybe does some other things to you. Because this seems relatively tame.
Yeah.
This seems like it's just for, like, what do I want to say? Like, official duels. Not, like, an actual, like, I'm trying to kill you duel, but, like, a, you know, like, a fencing match or something like that. Or, like, a boxing match. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I forgot I actually put this in here, but the use of multiple stunning spells cast at the same time amplifies the effect. So maybe then it's worse.
Because McGonagall took 3 to the chest, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So when you do that, it's particularly useful towards creatures, such as with the dragons, trolls, giants, half-giants, but that may result in injury for ordinary individuals, like McGonagall, because she had to be moved to Mungo's after being hit by the spell by multiple Ministry of Magic employees in 1996. And Madame Pomfrey even said, I'm surprised it didn't kill you.
All right. Craziness.
Yeah. So Ron suggests, why don't we capture Mrs. Norris and we could practice on her for a while?
Ooh.
Or Dobby. He would do anything for you. And then he's like, Hermione, why don't you take a turn? And she's like, oh, I think Harry's got it by now anyway. Mm-hmm. And she also tells Ron it wouldn't hurt so much if he would stop missing the cushions. And Ron's like, what am I supposed to... Whoa, that was loud. Ron's like, what am I supposed to do once I'm stunned? You can't really aim. So, what Sirius suggested practicing stunning and disarming, but they don't have to do disarming because Harry's already a boss at it. So they start on hexes, and they choose the impediment curse to start after dinner. So that is to stop or slow down any person or creature, temporarily immobilizing them. The jinx will usually simply immobilize a target. It can also be used to push or throw a target backwards, simply decrease the velocity of the victim's movement, or can even levitate them. So, like, do you just cast it, and you never know what you're going to get every time?
Yeah, honestly.
Maybe it just depends on, like, how much force you use it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you put into the spell, like...
Or maybe you have to decide in your head.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say that this spell is quite useful. Oh, Teddy is rubbing on the microphone.
Listen.
I was just gonna say that this spell is quite useful in the video games. You use it a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's like your main. It's your bread and butter. Actually, yeah. Harry says that.
He does say that.
Fun fact before I finish off my section, it's ineffective against Lethifolds. And if you don't know what Lethifolds are, they're super creepy. They're like giant black sheets that are really dangerous. So
don't try to use this spell. They come out at night too?
I think so.
Yeah.
And like,
because
that's how, like, the one, like, no one had seen it for, like, the longest time, and then he almost got killed by one.
Yeah, they're creepy.
That's in the.
Also, fun fact, after midnight, I turn into a Lethifold.
So, you're a Vila and a Lethifold.
Interesting
combo.
I'd
love to meet your parents.
You're a lot of things, Tiffany.
Vila during the day, Lethifold at night.
Okay. Let's go on to my section, shall we? Blue. Having a blue Christmas.
Ooh,
Christmas in July. So, Rary are headed to Divination, their favorite class. Ron points out whilst they're on their way there that he's like, dude, the room is going to be boiling because Trelawney's like, you know, always has to have a fire going because it has that certain look that she likes. And he was right. It was sweltering, as the book said. So Harry, like, goes to sit down next to a window so while she's not looking, he can crack it, like, just a smidge. I don't know why I said smudge. That's not what I wrote. A smidge, so he can get a little bit of fresh air. And he has a soft breeze. It's, like, kind of blowing on his face. And it even says in the book it was extremely comfortable. So she starts her lesson. They're talking about, like, Mars and, you know, stuff. And she takes out these planet things. So she dims the lights. And so Harry really starts to zone out because who wouldn't? Because she's her and I don't want to listen to her either.
True.
And he hears like an insect humming gently somewhere behind the curtain as his eyes begin to droop. And then I said, too bad he doesn't smash that little bug, a.k.a. Rita Skeeter. Because
you mean
gross.
Murder someone, Sarah?
But I bet you if you squash the bug, she would then turn into like herself and be dead.
I don't know about all this.
Still murder.
I mean, I'm not saying that's not wrong, but if you turn a teacup into a dog,
I'm not doing this with you.
And then the dog might be getting killed by the dragon, aka, you know, what Cedric did. Does he turn back into a teacup or like the rock that, you know, Cedric did? Just asking.
Dear
asking for a friend. Okay. All right. So the seer, Harry, begins to dream a little dream. Because,
dream
you know.
A little dream with me.
You're welcome for that. All right, so at the beginning of the dream, it says he was riding on the back of an eagle owl, soaring through the clear blue sky toward an old ivory-covered house set high on a hillside. Why are you freaking out?
The eagle owl from last chapter when he was staring at Hagrid digging for the Nifflers.
Oh, I was saying that's a pretty good connection for any Drury fans.
Well, yeah. Well, we said it was Malfoy's owl, probably.
Yeah,
I know.
It's his boyfriend's owl. All right. So lower and lower they flew, the wind blowing pleasantly in Harry's face until they reached a dark and broken window in the upper story of the house and entered. Now they were flying along a gloomy passageway to a room at the very end. Through the door they went into a dark room whose windows were boarded up. So then Harry leaves the owl's back and then he's watching. And so like whenever we pointed out this reason why I agree with Tiffany that he's a seer is because like he's not seeing this. Like I know that Voldemort and Harry are connected, but in my opinion, if this was coming through his connection truly with Voldemort, he would be seeing it through Voldemort's eyes, not seeing it as himself in the corner basically of the room.
Go, babe, go.
I'm just saying.
I'm he's just a saying. Seer. You're a seer, Harry.
Yeah. So Harry is watching. He sees the owl fly to a chair. And so the owl's back is to Harry. And I believe the back of the chair, like, he doesn't see who's sitting in it either. And so, like, on there's two dark shapes on the floor besides the chair. One was a huge snake. And the other one is described as, you know, a gross human, a.k.a. worm tails there.
Hey.
Can't wait till you die. Yeah. So a cold, high-pitched voice from the chair speaks to Wormtail, and he's basically like, Broski, you're in luck. And this is what he says. You're in luck, Wormtail. You are very fortunate indeed. Your blunder has not ruined everything. He is dead. He's talking about Crouch Senior. He's now just a bone in the woods. Ha, 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 ha. Sorry, that's not funny to laugh at him.
It's really not. It's awful. But can I point something out here? Every time they talk about the chair and you can't see who's sitting in it, it makes me think of da-da-da-da-da, Inspector Gadget and Dr. Claw, because you can never see him.
Yes.
You're welcome, Nike's kids.
I loved it.
I'd also like to point out when talking about Wormtail and like how a ugh, person he is, mm-hmm. He's literally wheezing and sobbing on the hearth rug. Like, I'm going to need a dude to buck up a little bit. Like, you chose the thug life, you know? You chose to be on Voldemort's side. I need you to, like, I don't know, stop being such a coward.
Here's my headcanon about him and choosing his thug life. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like he's the kind of guy that, like, cries, sobs, whatever, and then like we'll like leave the room and be like, psh, that ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
he's such
sure.
a he just puts on a show,
yeah.
And he thinks he's tough, and it's like, no, you're gonna choke yourself. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Or one would say, instead of saying you choose the thug life, you choose the rug life, because that's where you're going to be at for the rest of your life. Below.
Oh, my God.
He's just laying on the rug.
Oh.
So then, of course, Wormtail's groveling, and he's like, no, I'm so sorry. No, please, blah, 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 whatevs. He's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. And I'm grateful he's dead. And I'm glad that, you know, I'm lucky. And then Voldemort's like, yo, sister, Nagini, you're out of luck. Because I will not be giving you Wormtail the little to snack on. Also, you know, he wouldn't taste good. And he's like, but never mind. Never mind. There is still Harry Potter. So I think Harry's probably freaking out.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want to be snake food. Mm-mm. Is this the first time? No, Nagini. We hear Nagini's name at the beginning of this book, don't we?
Yeah,
Nagini Frank Hill or something like yeah. this, or yeah. dinner Nagini or something yeah. like that. I don't know.
And so it's like, yeah. oh no, Nagini, don't eat Harry. He also wouldn't taste very good.
Mm-mm.
But he would probably taste better than Wormtail because he's not a gross human,
right?
And then he's like, you know, Voldemort's talking to Wormtail, and he's like, I'm not going to tolerate any more blunders. And really, to prove his point. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna show you my wrath. And then really he starts
begging. And then oh, let me show you my wrath. I just bought it today.
So the tip of a wand emerged from around the back of the chair and it was pointing at Wormtail. So here's my question though. If you're a baby and like, you know, your little listen, Baldy baby.
They've been working how on you his fine motor skills.
Okay.
Da-na-na-na-na, baby Baldy.
Also, like, do you think so? We know that this is actually happening, or like has happened, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, so Harry's yeah. seeing this, and these are true events, not really a dream that Harry's having. Do you think that that owl is being like? Delivering something like if that truly is the Malfoy owl, because you know that he's like in talks with Voldemort.
Does Malfoy Senior know that Voldy's back until he's called back though?
I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there that maybe it's connected.
I think that Senior only oh. knows that he's back when he's called to the graveyard.
Vinny's saying maybe it's Judy's owl.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. I was just as curious. So. I want to read a little bit about the Crucio curse.
Read it. Do it.
Which we've talked about before because we learn about it. What?
What if that's Percy's owl? Because Percy has an eagle owl, and Judy could be writing Crouch's notes to
the
Percy.
Ministry. Yeah.
Or Wormtail. Like, that's how yeah. they're communicating.
Yeah.
Ooh, good Whoa. Thoughts. Good thoughts.
Whoa.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, Hermes.
This is so juicy.
Okay,
me.
Deepest
money. On Pottermore, talking about Crucio, it's one of the three unforgivable curses. The Cruciatus curse causes agonizing pain. And the purpose, we said, is to inflict excruciating pain on the recipient or victim. So there's like a couple things. We know that I believe Bellatrix loves to use it. See in the final task.
She's a nice person, isn't she?
Yeah, she's just wonderful. And I just wanted to read a little bit from the chapter with Wormtail and how he reacted. Wormtail screamed as though every nerve in his body were on fire. The screaming filled Harry's ears as the scar on his forehead seared with pain. He was yelling too. Voldemort would hear him. Would know he was there.
Wow.
So. Also, because I meant to do this too. Maybe I didn't. But there's a cool article on Pottermore that doesn't talk about this dream, but talks about Harry's dreams. Because it says, dreams are rarely normal, but when you're Harry Potter, they can be a nightmare.
Oh. Very Oops. Funny.
Yeah. And then, talking about Harry being a seer, there's another article on Pottermore that says magical abilities that do not sound at all that fun. And seeing, being a seer, it says having the ability to see the future may sound like a pretty useful power, but it is weighted by many responsibilities. In the case of part-time seer Professor Trelawney predicting that Harry or Neville would be the cause of Lord Voldemort's downfall, created a chain of events trying to stop said prophecy, with Voldemort murdering Harry's parents in the process. Had Voldemort not known about the prophecy, maybe James and Lily wouldn't have died, or would have died later anyways, but thanks to Trelawney's premonition, Harry ended up an orphan from an incredibly early age. Although not Trelawney's fault, her prediction nonetheless created a domino effect. And despite her fascination in the art of divination, she has even admitted herself, seers have always been feared, always been persecuted. It is, alas, our fate. This is being, basically being a seer sounds more trouble than it's worth. But I still think that, like...
I wouldn't want to be one.
Oh, no, for sure. But, like, I think Harry has a touch of it. But I also think that, like, it's one of those things where, like, everything happens for a reason. So, like, if she had never... done anything, like, her doing it and helped the prophecy, like, you know how people are like, we're gonna try all these other things, but like the outcome's still going to be the same no matter what you do.
Yeah,
sense in my head, it makes sense of what I'm trying to say.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I get it.
So Harry, like, is kind of hearing his name. It's like one of those things, like, and I'm sure it's happened, like, I've had dreams where, like, I'm like kind of waking up and I could hear, like, back in the day when I used to listen to the radio when I would sleep, you'd hear, like, the song or whatever they were talking about where you were started dreaming about it. So Harry, like, hears his name, and then he opens his eyes, and he realizes he's now on the floor of the classroom. And his hands are, like, on his face, kind of holding a scar because it's burning so much that his eyes were watering. And he's like, oh, shoot, like, that pain was real. Like, the pain he felt in his dream was real. And everybody's staring at him, and then Ron is looking at him, and he looks very scared. And so Trelawney seems very excited. She's like, what was it, Potter? A premonition? An aberration? What did you see? Because she's like, I know, you there's something in you. AKA, she's like, probably wouldn't be like, I helped him, you know what I mean? I helped him see the ways.
It's a horcrux.
The ways of the seer.
What?
The light. There's a horcrux in him.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
And she keeps trying to be like, okay, come on, like, what happened? And he's like, no, nothing happened. Like, I didn't see anything, you know. And he said that, as somebody would say, like a liar.
Like a liar. Actually, and John Mulaney would say.
John Mulaney. Tiffany quoting John Mulaney, like, that's it's right. Her job.
It is my job.
It's your job. All right.
It's my job. Continue your section, please.
Oh, baby. So she's trying to get out of Harry what he saw, and he's like, literally saw nothing. But really, he's like so shaken up because he can't get those images out of his head.
Yeah.
And then she's like, man, I have experience in these matters. Like, I can help you. And he's like, no, you know, it's just a headache, and I'm going to leave and go to the hospital wing because they can help me more than you can in all aspects of life. So he gets up and leaves, and he's leaving behind like a frustrated looking Trelawney because I think she wanted to like, turn this into a big ordeal and like a big spectacle thing. And,
yep. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
He doesn't have time for that.
Mm-mm.
And you know, he also doesn't have time to go to the hospital wing because some good advice I would say that Sirius gave him was, you know, if this happens again, go to Dumbledore. Like, you need to tell Dumbledore because this is serious. Get it? So he heads to Dumbledore's office and he is, like, kind of on his way there thinking about all those details, and he kind of compares it to the dream he had at the beginning of the year, how vivid it was. And he's, like, he keeps going over all the details so he won't forget anything. But he gets to the gargoyle, and he's like, oh, shoot, the shooters, I don't know what the password is.
Okay, I need you to read these, like, really, really fast.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Lemon drop, pear drop, licorice one, fizzing wisby, Drupal's best blowing bum. Bomb. Bots, every flavor beans. Oh, he doesn't like those. That can't be it. He's like, chocolate frog, sugar quill, and winner, winner, chicken digger, dinner. He says, cockroach, cluster, and in blues. Woo, 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 woo. They get into Dumbledore's office. Well, not really the office, but, you know, the stairwell to the office.
Drupal's best blowing bum.
Let's talk about cockroach clusters. Sounds gross. Do you think a cockroach cluster is like a turtle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but with a cockroach in it.
Oh, no.
Do you think they move like chocolate frogs do?
Yeah.
But... do they scuttle? Ew. Do they come alive in the dark?
That... what are they, crabs? Scuttling.
Skull. So gross.
So then Harry does what Harry does best, because he's like, "Ooh, I hear voices. I'm gonna listen." So he hears in Dumbledore's office, he hears good old Dumbledore. He hears gross Mr. Fudge and the fake Judy. And they're talking about Crouch. They're talking about Crouch and like what happened in the forest. And, you know, we hear Fudge's opinion being like, I don't see the connection. Like Ludo says, Bertha's perfectly capable of getting herself lost. I agree we would have to expected to have found her by now, but all of that the same, we've got no evidence of foul play. None at all. And he's like, as for her disappearance being linked to Bart with Barty Crouch's, so like him just saying that in and of itself is like, okay, so now there really is something fishy with Barty Crouch. It's odd that he hasn't been to work even though he's been corresponding with Percy. And like, I can't believe they're still not super concerned about Bertha Jorkins being missing, but guys, she's freaking dead.
Oh, poor Bertha.
Open your eyes. And then,
they like give me no hope for government. The like, ministry,
not with the budget charge.
The ministry just gives me no hope for government. Like, they are.
When you don't have a strong leader,
yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that. Anyway, so we know that she's, you know, doing things and she's used to being gone and whatever, so they're not terribly worried about it. And then Moody, like, likes to stir the pot because he knows what happened to Barty Crouch. So he goes, what do you think happened to Barty Crouch, Minister? And then Fudge is like, okay, well, there's two things. One, maybe he finally snapped. I don't know. Or maybe he's lost his mind and is taken to wandering. I mean, could be. And then he really kind of had this theory basically saying, like, wow, you know, I'll reserve judgment until after I've seen the place where he was found. But you say it was just past the Beauxbatons carriage, Dumbledore? You know what that woman is. And I literally wrote in my book, OMG, beep.
Yeah.
I said a not nice word. I wrote a not nice word in my thing. And then, you know.
He's not a nice person.
No. And I said he's basically like, no. And so Dumbledore's like, I'm not having, like, he's not having any of Fudge's prejudiceness in his words, because he's like, I trust her. She's a very capable headmistress. And he even goes, and an excellent dancer. and then it literally says, and I want to read this out loud. So that's Dumbledore says that quietly. Fudge goes, Dumbledore, come, said Fudge angrily. Don't you think you might be prejudiced in her favor because of Hagrid? They don't all turn out harmless, if indeed you can call Hagrid harmless, with that monster fixation he's got. And then Dumbledore says, I no more suspect Madame Maxime than Hagrid, said Dumbledore just as calmly. I think it is possible that you, hold on, words are hard for me to say. I think it is possible that it is you who are prejudiced, Cornelius. And I wrote, yes.
My man.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out when they're having this conversation, Fudge is getting angry kind of this entire time because he's kind of disagreeing with Dumbledore. And we know in the next book that he's very much like, he is not back and he's freaking out. And Dumbledore is just calm and he's like, you know, I don't think it was her. Why would you say that? You know, neither one of those people, Hagrid nor Madame Maxime, are those types of people that would hurt Crouch. Like, calm as can be. And you know what's great, though, is a lot of times it makes the people that are angry even more angry.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to, in the words of Taylor Swift, you need to calm down.
Yep.
Like, can you just not?
Yeah.
You need to just stop.
And then Moody was like, all right, broskies, we gotta like wrap this discussion up like a tortilla, because Fudge is like, yes, we need to go investigate, and he's like, no, Harry wants a word with you, professor, because he's outside. And they're like, oh, there's a student listening.
And then they had quesadillas.
Yeah,
I like quesadilla.
Yeah,
I like tortilla chips better.
With some guacamole.
Salsa and guacamole.
Salsa.
I like salsa.
This sir makes this thing that I haven't had in a long time, and it's like black beans and corn and onions and guacamole. Not guacamole. Avocados. It's so good. It's been a minute since I've had it.
I like a good 7-layer dip from the old restaurant I worked at that's now closed.
What restaurant?
Parkside.
Parkside. Were they on the side of a park?
Actually, yes. Are you ready for the lightning bolt around? Okay. Dear friends, we're here with questions. First up from Logan from the Discord chat.
My gosh.
What would you do if you had dreams like Harry's?
It'd be funny if you just ended it if you had dreams. Well, I'm still waiting for the day that I have a dream.
I probably, like, wouldn't want to sleep.
No, same's.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like it says, like, it sounds cool that, like, knowing the future, no, I don't need to know. That's not what life's about.
He's not really, like, knowing the future, though.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, he's just able to read something that's happening in that moment elsewhere.
True.
It's like he's able to see pieces that, like, help him in the situation he's at.
Yeah. Because
if you think about, like, with Cursed Child, he's, like, having dreams about his childhood that's helping him with his future. So it's, like, almost like his brain is being like, okay, here's some bits of information you need to know to be successful in doing what your task is right now.
Yeah.
Do you guys believe in things like that? Like, dream interpretations and stuff?
Well, I dreamed about Alana's middle name. And I dreamed about the Dear Joe design.
Not true.
Well, like, my
dreams come into my life that way.
I have a friend that her dreams, if she dreams in color, they typically come true. But I had a dream recently, and I was, like, telling my friends about it. Like, I was telling Jen and Regine about it, that I was at my grandma's house, which she no longer owns because she has passed on. But, like, I was sitting in her driveway, and my dad was there, and my sister was there, but, like, I couldn't see my sister. And, like, my grandma was, like, there, but not there. Like, I couldn't see her. I just knew, like, and my dad's like, oh, I got you guys something. And he's like, I got you something. So he goes around, like, a car, and he comes back with, like, 5 or 6 puppies. And he's like, pick one. Like, I'm getting you, like, you're getting a dog. Like, pick a dog. And the dogs were beautiful. They were so cute. They were, like, black and white and, like, a little bit tan, like, all over with blue eyes. They were so cute. And I woke up right before I picked one out. And then I had another dream there where I was, like, in D.C., and I got another dog. But I don't remember it as much as the other one. But, yeah, they think that means something's coming into my life. Fun fact.
Ooh. I very rarely dream.
Same. And when I do, it's weird.
Yeah,
my mom has really weird ones.
What was it?
And I never remember them. Like, as the second I wake up, I'll remember it, and then I'll try to, like, get the story out to Katie or something, and it just, like, dissipates in seconds. It's so weird.
The last dream I had, I was brushing my teeth, and I couldn't get all the toothpaste to rinse out of the toothbrush. That was my dream.
Okay, Katie.
It's probably a stress dream. Were you, like, stressed out?
I don't know.
She's always,
I have stress dreams all the time about, like, sometimes I'll be back in high school and I'm trying to, like, get to class and I can't make it there. Or I'll have dreams, like, about work where, like, I'm trying to get to work and I can't get there and I can't get there and there's all these obstacles and I'm, like, running late.
Maybe. I don't know.
Those are all stress.
I don't remember what was going on at the time, but possibly.
Every single time that I'm sick and I have a fever, I have a dream that a T-Rex is chasing me.
Tiffany, get out of her dream.
And then it alternates between the T-Rex dream and a dream where there's a snake that's chasing me and I can't get away from it no matter what I do.
She literally wakes up screaming.
Like, it's the worst dream ever. And every single time I have a fever, I have that same dream. And the setup of the room is the same. It's literally the exact same dream every single time.
It's weird.
So scary. I'll close the door and it'll, like, get under the door. I'll go onto a bunk bed and it'll, like, twirl up the bunk bed. Like, it is weird.
Listen, here's my interpretation of your dream. T-Rex and snake, right? Okay.
Yeah.
T-Rex has very short arms. Snake has no arms. What if they just want you to help them reach something?
Or give them a hug.
Next time, just ask them, what is it you can't
reach?
Do you
need a hug?
The snake looks pretty menacing, like it wants to kill me.
He's mad that he can't reach stuff. I'm short. I get mad that I can't reach stuff.
He slithers up everything. Goodbye. Don't ask me.
All right, move on.
All right, next question. This is from Pesha in the Discord chat. If one of the Marauders were a seer, who would it be?
Ooh. I feel like it'd be either Sirius or Lupin.
I was kind of going to go Lupin, I think, because he seems the most level-headed.
I was going to go Sirius.
We're all over the place.
I think Lupin. Just because I feel like he handles his life as a werewolf, like, so well for him, even though he's pretty down on himself. I feel like he could also handle having that task as well.
I kind of just feel like for, like, with Lupin, he's the most logical out of all of them, so even if he wasn't a seer, per se, he could still come to pretty good conclusions about things just because of his logic.
I like the idea of Sirius just because he's a wild card, so he would be a little reckless with it, and then Remus being the logical one would, like, interpret it for him.
Maybe.
I like that. I like that idea a lot.
Wolfstar action.
Okay.
Alright, next question.
Vinny, you want me to read it? Is that what you were intending or no? Sorry, I did not mean to cut you off. Vinny asks, what would have been your password if you were the headmistress?
Thank you for saying headmistress.
Yeah. Dribble's best blowing bum. For sure.
Sour Patch Kid watermelons.
Is it to be a snack?
I don't know.
If you want it to be the best kind of password, yes.
Make it a candy. Make it a candy.
Airheads.
No, Meg's would be Reese's Fast Break Bar.
Oh, yeah, it would be, actually. Reese's Fast Break Bar.
Frozen Charleston Chews.
Ooh,
Charleston
those Chews. Are good.
Yeah. I don't like them.
Would be a Snickers.
Snickers. So good.
They call me AK. I'm sorry, I don't know your real first name. She asks, favorite way to procrastinate at work? Hers is sneaking earpods in to listen to the Swisher Discord episode recording.
Hey! I can't really procrastinate at my job when you have 20 plus little ones running around. Amok, amok, amok.
You know.
Maybe, like, talking about procrastinating with my work I was supposed to do with the podcast, I watched Netflix.
Yeah, I definitely watch Netflix. I'm on Stranger Things right now. We're halfway through.
The third one?
Yeah.
Don't spoil anything for me.
I'm not.
Don't also tell my mom that I watched the first two without her.
I'm telling.
All I'm saying is it's good.
I find that I do better watching it with her when I've already watched it.
Because she asks questions.
A lot of questions.
That's exactly how my mom is. Drives me nuts.
Yes. Especially when I've not seen it. Well, like, if I've not seen it, we're watching something together, I literally am like, Mom, I can't answer that for you because I've never seen this. So I don't know.
Yeah. Parents,
man. All I'm going to say is it's very good.
So far, I'm liking it. I'm shocked, but I'm liking it.
I think it's my favorite season.
From what I've seen, I think I agree with you.
Yeah, it's good. Katie, do you want to ask the next one?
I've only seen season one.
Lame.
Slacker. Sage asks, if you had to substitute for divination 1 week, what would you teach that week?
I would talk about astrological signs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Aries and stuff like that. Like, I think that'd be really fun to talk about.
I was just going to be, like, star stuff.
I think I would want to do tea leaf reading.
We did tea leaf reading, and it was fun.
And then you can just drink a ton of tea.
Yeah, I would love it.
It was fun. Fun times. We're had by all.
Next question.
Nicole asks, if you didn't have an owl, what kind of fantastic beast would you use to deliver your mail?
Dragon.
Tiffany.
A hippogriff.
I'd really
You'd
want...
You'd send your mail in the trash.
I'm gonna say Niffler, though. I want a little Niffler to scuttle up to me. All my envelopes would be gold so that it would want to travel with it, you know?
But how are the people who... Your recipients aren't gonna get their mail. It's gonna stuff in it. How... Keep it.
Keep it forever. True. I sent that bill in weeks ago. What are you talking about?
I'd probably send a dog.
A phoenix. And hope it doesn't catch fire.
Right.
My mail's on fire. You're so silly.
So Sage said a fun fact in the chat that's really weird. It says, any face that you've seen in your dreams is a person you've seen in real life because your brain can't make up faces while you dream.
I've heard that before, and it kind of freaks me out.
So weird.
Do you see strangers in your dreams?
I have,
I've seen stranger things in my dreams.
Do you want to hear something interesting about dreams? Back to that. We call it Dream Marty because sometimes, like, I'll wake up and I'll legit be, like, mad or upset or sad. Because when you wake up from a dream, like, at least for me, like, I those emotions are real. Like, I was experiencing those emotions while I was dreaming.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Dream Marty is a horrific jerk. He's so bad. And I'll literally, like, it's stupid, but I can't help it because I'm, like, half asleep, half awake anyway. Like, I'll wake him up and be upset with him. And he's like, yeah, Dream Marty's the worst.
I don't think I've ever had, like, a bad dream with Katie in it, like, where she's mean. Katie's never mean.
I've never had a dream with you being mean.
Because I'm always really nice.
You are.
Always.
Whatever. I recently also had a dream. So, like, they talk about, like, I've heard about people talking about dreaming about, like, people that have passed on. And, like, someone told me that, like, it's not good if they talk to you. Although, I don't think I've ever had a dream where, like, they've talked to me. But I had a dream after the dream about my dad giving me a puppy, which apparently means things. So I've been told that my grandma, I was, like, having a dream. I don't remember where I was, but, like, my grandma was there, my grandma O'Malley, and, like, my Aunt Erin. And I don't know if my Aunt Anne was there or not, but my grandma was there. She looked really good, but she didn't say anything during the dream. Like, it was weird. It's like, I wonder what that means. Fun fact of my dreams.
Vinny wants us to sort Stranger Things characters.
I think you need a Felix file on that.
Ooh, good idea.
That would be fun, Felix file.
You should do that after you're both done watching season 3, and I'll sit that one out.
We'll call it Potter Thing.
We could maybe record that while we're in NYC.
There you go. Yeah. Good idea, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny.
Is that all?
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
I have one thing that, like, to... I recorded a thing with my friend that doesn't really have anything to do with Harry Potter. But if you want to listen to it, let me know and we'll put it out as a Felix Files. Or, like, a bonus episode.
People liked the one with you and Ez.
Yeah, but that was kind of like...
That was ghosty.
Yeah, this is literally just us talking in a car on the way to St. Louis.
I mean, maybe it's like, just like a bonus Felix file, you know?
Yeah. I literally also don't remember what I talked about on the one with Ezra, so I'm glad that people liked it so much.
It was good.
We made her let us edit it so she wouldn't cut everything out.
Let's rephrase that. I said, you guys might want to edit this because I edit myself a lot. So it might behoove me for you guys to edit it because I probably would have cut a lot out.
Behooves.
Yeah.
Like a horse.
Yes. I had a wine today that was 14 hands. Okay. And I giggled.
Let's move.
Fan story?
Yeah.
Fan story.
All right. This week comes from Samantha Mason. Hey, y'all. My name is Samantha, and I'm a Ravenclaw, and I've been listening to y'all's podcast for 2 months now, whenever this was sent. I was hooked from the very first episode. My Potter story is slightly long and embarrassing, so I apologize in advance if you get secondhand embarrassment. Oh, man, that's me. So as a child, I was obsessed with reading. I read everything I could get my hands on, and my mom encouraged this so hard. One day after school, I had come home and was doing my homework, and not going to lie, I was watching TV, when this movie trailer had popped up. It featured a boy flying on a broom with a very cute, my 9-year-old self was a tad bit boy crazy, blonde-headed boy. I was very intrigued by the trailer and asked my mom, could we go see it when it came out? She told me she would think about it and would give me an answer when I got home from school the next day. Now I come from below the Bible Belt, so anything to do with witchcraft was strictly forbidden, but my mom was a rebel. She found out the movie was based off a book and told me the only way I could see the movie was if I read the book first. So, of course, that weekend she went and got me the book and I read it in 3 hours.
Whoa.
I was hooked. My obsession branched off. The next year I got everything Harry Potter for Christmas. My grandmother made me a Harry Potter pillow, which I still have, and a super amazing blanket that I, as a 25-year-old woman, can't sleep without. When Chamber came out, I fell in love with Rupert Grint and Ron Weasley. Y'all, my love for that boy was so embarrassing. My mom let me dye my hair red like his, and I wrote Mrs. Rupert Grint on everything.
It's amazing. It's like Megan.
Yeah, it's your spirit animal, man. Thinking back to that and writing it out sounds very stalkerish, but as much as I love the series, it helped me through a lot. You see, my mom bounced around from man to man and preferred drugs over us sometimes, and I never had a stable home except Harry Potter. I read the books so much that they were falling apart. I ended up with 7 sets of the series.
Wow.
Let me do that bell again. It was bad. All my friends grew out of Harry Potter, but I always stayed with it. I still do. Harry Potter has been there with every heartbreak, every time I hurt myself, and any time I needed a friend. I always turned to Harry. I am grown now with a husband who has never seen or read the series, and 2 little girls, who I personally have sorted into Gryffindor and Slytherin, and I can't wait to indulge them in all things Potter. Currently, my 3-year-old, Kennedy, the Gryffindor, loves being read the tales of Beedle the Bard for bedtime stories.
Aww.
My 1-year-old, Weslin, Slytherin, is a baby Draco Malfoy. See the picture attached. By the way, you guys gotta look because it's so cute. I am so incredibly blessed for JK and the Harry Potter series. It saved me when I thought there was nothing to save, my light when I was surrounded by darkness. I want to thank y'all, Katie, Meg, Tiffany, and Sarah, my spirit sister, because I relate to her so much, for doing this podcast for all the Harry Potter fans and creating a new home for us.
Ooh.
I know, chills.
Chills. They're multiplying.
Also, I'm still in love with Rupert Grint, so I feel you there.
Yeah. Samantha,
I almost said you. He's a good-looking pooch. He's a good looking man.
Oh, he is. Him and Tom Felton did a bunch of promo stuff when they were down in Universal for the new Hagrid's ride, and like I love all the videos that have been coming out with it. Seeing them interact together again.
It was good.
But thank you so much, Samantha, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
It sounds like you have like a sweet happily ever after.
Yeah.
Also I love your kids' names.
Yes. Yeah. So different. Yes.
Super cute.
And also, I know Potter is always there for you. It's always there for all of us. And it seems like you do know, but just to reiterate, like, our community is always there for you as well.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Thanks for being a part of it. You guys make it home for us, so
correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
All right.
Social media.
So make sure that you guys follow us on all the different social media channels. We're on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you just search Swish and Flick Podcast, we'll come up on there. All of our podcasts post there as well as different vlogs.
For anyone who's having problems with their apps, because it seems to be a lot lately. So YouTube it up.
Yeah.
If you
need to.
They're always on YouTube. My advice to anybody who's having issues is make sure your phone's up to date, unsubscribe and resubscribe to the podcast.
Make sure the app's up to date.
Yeah, make sure the app's up to date. Delete the app and re-download it. Those are things that all seem to work for me for other things. So those are my suggestions. Also, you can follow us on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files, a chance to be a guest on the Felix Files, and a live video chat session with us monthly on Zoom. So you can find us there at patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level.
Mm-hmm. Patron Plus packages are going out soon.
So excited.
Phoenix Plus packages.
What did I say?
I saw one of the items being made.
Yeah.
And it's super nice.
Yeah.
So I think that for our shirts for meetups, can we start like putting where we meet people up on the back of the shirt, or is that too much to do?
It makes the cost go up if you do a front and a back. I know.
Dumb.
But we can look into it.
We'll look.
Because that'd be cute.
Maybe give it as an option for people who would like to spend a little extra.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All good thoughts. Bring it on, Sarah. Yes. Bring it on.
Also, okay. I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to all of our current patrons. We couldn't do this without you. We super appreciate you. So thank you. Mm. And then lastly, all of the information about us is on our website at swishflickcast.com. And that's also where you can find all of our merchandise.
We do want to also, or should say, we should point out that if you are a patron of ours, our stuff that you get, like the welcome packets and everything, gets sent out quarterly.
Yes.
So if you join like today,
if you joined after July 1st, you might not get your package until the next quarter. So that would be August, September, October, will be the next mailing.
Yeah. It's so, like, just, it's not going to be sent out right immediately after you join.
Right.
Just it's to save just us some time.
Too much.
Yeah.
You get your other perks right away.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can listen to the Felix Files right Felix away and everything.
Files
so.
And stuff like that.
But your package, it's 4 times a year they go out. So just have some patience with us.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be bananas.
Yes. It's already, it gets too much. It's already bananas.
We got to be organized and everything.
And if you... sorry, Sarah, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, if you guys have any ideas, if like... Because with our... Phoenix Plus ones, we're going to give out like exclusive merch. So if there's something that if you're a patron that you are a Phoenix Plus patron and there's something you would really like, let us know. Also, if you want to see us do something on YouTube that you know, besides like us making cooking things or whatever, just let us know and give us ideas that you want to see. Cause really we're here to like do stuff we love, but we also want like
to give you content
that you guys want to see. Yeah.
Right. If you have been a patron and haven't received your package for some reason, because we are caught up, so...
Well, we're not really, because we haven't sent out July's yet.
No, but we're caught up to that point. So, you know, it honestly may have gotten lost in the mail, because we've had trouble before, so, like, let us know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to gyp anybody, not trying to... We don't want anyone to be forgotten or feel left out, so just send us a message.
And also, with if you don't live in the United States of America, it takes longer with customs and... all that other fun stuff to get there. So, yeah.
Yep.
That's about all I got.
Okay.
Cool.
Plugging other things?
Sure.
Yes?
Yeah. Do you have anything, Tiff?
I do. I would like to plug something today that is not myself. My sister has started an Etsy shop.
Ooh.
And I know. Well, get this. It's something like she is... a historical nut. Like, she loves anything to do with history. She's a metal detector. She loves to collect, like, coins, anything that's vintage, just anything to do with history she's in love with. Like, her favorite place to be is Gettysburg. And so she started thrifting and has found some really interesting things, and she now has an Etsy shop, like I said, and she also has an Instagram. So I would love for anybody who is interested in vintage stuff, she has a wide variety of things. It's called Valley Vintage Goodies. And go follow her on Instagram. Go like her shop on Etsy. She was so nervous for me to do this for her. She was like, I don't know, I'm not very good. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
She's
like,
so cute. You're amazing. I love her.
And she researches everything she has to give you a fair and appropriate price. And so just go on Etsy, Valley Vintage Goodies, and like her shop and like her Instagram and look through her pictures. She has some really super cute vintage owls on there right now. She has some like bookends and I don't know, just a bunch of stuff. And she really takes the time and effort to make it the best that she can. So just go and give her a like right now. Right meow. And then you can follow me on Twitter at @TiffSwish_click. And that's all.
So I wanted to plug my friends, Sarah and Peter. I know that you guys have probably heard me talk about them before, but they recently just went through IVF. And I don't know if there's any listeners out there who are going through infertility, but they have a different Instagram besides the Brookhart Project. They have the Baby Brookhart Project, and it is all about their IVF and IUI experience. A lot of it is story-driven, so, like, she's got her little highlights on her stories of, like, them getting the meds and them doing egg retrieval. They just did egg retrieval today. So, and, like, it was successful. They'll find out if it was even more successful tomorrow, so hopefully things happened. But if you guys are interested in that, or you're going through that, or know somebody who's going through it, if you like following different Instagrams about infertility, the Baby Brookhart Project is a good one. And then also just follow the regular channel, the Brookhart Project, for a Disney fix, because I know a lot of you guys out there are Disney fans, and their vlogs are pretty... pretty fun because they literally go to Disney like almost every day.
Honestly.
Yeah. And then if you want to follow Katie and I, we have our YouTube channel at The Peaches Family and Instagram at The Peaches Family and Twitter. I'm trying. I'm so bad at Twitter, but like I try. I like stuff. I retweet stuff. I do it.
Yes. So I want to plug a listener who requires a shout out because they took some time out of their life to do something amazing. So this shout out goes to Robert Griffey. I'm going to read their post because it's amazing. So Robert says, "So as some of you might know or don't know, I've decided to re-listen to every episode I have available, starting with episode 1, and count and keep track of every number, color, and Dear Joe moment throughout the podcast.
Goodness gracious.
As our lovely hosts, Tiffany, Megan, Katie, and Sarah have entranced our minds with countless hours of HB knowledge, and reaching episode 100, I have a total amount. P.S. When it comes to the Dear Joe moments, I was mainly listening to the words Dear Joe, so I didn't catch every single moment, but as precise numbers as I could. Shout out to listening." So, numbers. 7,179. Now 180. colors, 1,824. And Dear Joe, 72. Robert,
dude,
shout out to you.
Girl's got a lot of questions to answer of ours. 72.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
Get on it.
That's amazing. Yeah. I don't know how you did that, because I don't know. Sometimes I'm dinging that bell like a crazy person, so.
Really, though.
Accurate.
Like, wow. Thank you for taking the time. Like, that made my year.
That was awesome. Truly a labor of love.
Yes.
Yes.
Truly a labor of love. Sarah, what you doing?
So mine's a little bit more sad. Only because I don't really have anything to plug. I'm still figuring stuff out, like where I'm going to go to school and do all that stuff. But just keep my family in your thoughts and prayers. Or whatever. Give thoughts, good vibes. Just because I have an aunt that's not doing so well. And that's all. And then I had other family. Like, they're not related to me, but they're going through some stuff, so that's about it. I bring it all down. Yay, me. No. And you can also follow me on Instagram. I'm O'Malley with 3 H's. But just keep my family and extended friends and stuff in your thoughts, prayers, good vibes, all that fun stuff.
We'll do.
Keep your family close.
We got you.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for the greater good?
No, ma'am.
For Voldemort and Valor.
For Voldemort and Valor, ladies. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Boom. Roasted.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.